Hello and welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I am one of your hosts, Micah McCartney.
And I am the other host, Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode 36, a special episode, in fact. It's our full review, spoiler-filled, huge, gigantic episode of Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean. This is a fair warning. This is going to be all spoilers. We kind of warned you guys last week that we are going to dive into Batman vs. Superman. And so if you haven't seen it, you probably don't want to listen to this episode.
Get the fuck out.
If you do, if you want to hear the spoilers anyway, then I guess you can listen anyway too.
Yeah.
So
I guess you don't have to get out if you don't want to. But
exactly. We just want to give you fair warning. Spoilers, spoilers, spoiler.
Spoilers. So, lots of them.
Spoilers. Lots of spoilers. Everything you can get. This is a peep show for spoilers. But, Sean, how's your week before we dive in?
It was good, man. Same pretty average week. Nothing too crazy. Saw the movie, obviously, last weekend. Loved it. Excited to talk about it. Other than that, things have been good, man. How about yourself?
Good. Yeah, I played a bunch of Call of Duty this week with my buddy Grant. But there was a lot of issues with the Xbox servers and Call of Duty this week and weekend.
For sure.
It's been actually really bad. Like, 2 days back-to-back, they're freaking awful. And, Xbox on their website and Call of Duty on their website both were saying servers were down, and it was on and off for like 3 or 4 days. It was really bad, and I'm surprised that no one wrote an article about it, because it was Xbox. It's hard to advocate for them and call them the best, and we use the Xbox One for our console, but it was a rough week if you're a gamer and you liked Call of Duty. Holy shit.
Yeah, it was no it was real bad.
It was real bad, but other than that, it's good, man. Going on vacation. Just so our listeners know, so me and Sean are going to do our best to coordinate for next week how we're going to record. So if it's a little bit shorter, we apologize, but I'm going on vacation this Tuesday to Disneyland with family and my fiance, and so it's going to be a good time, but just a heads up for next week, might be a little bit shorter of an episode.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's exciting. I'm glad you guys are getting an opportunity to go get out of the state for a little bit, enjoy each other. Sounds really good. And we will definitely have an episode for sure. We just don't know what it is yet. But like we said, this whole episode is really going to be centered around Batman versus Superman. What me and Micah thought about it. We love the movie. We've been waiting forever for it to come out. We're huge Batman fans, huge DC fans in general. So this was kind of like, this was our movie this year, right? Like, this was like what we've been waiting for a while now,
It's, yeah. Yeah. It's been, since me and Sean started this podcast, we have been talking about Batman versus Superman.
Right?
I mean, no joke. That's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
This movie has been, I don't really follow, movies this closely, Sean, like before they come out normally. I don't really keep up on the news, like every little tidbit. Maybe with Star Wars I did a little bit, but it's very rare when I do that. Do you feel like we gave this so much attention and we hyped it up so much? Could it even meet our expectations?
Well, I feel like for sure this movie, more than any other movie I've seen this, maybe ever, they gave a lot away. There was a ton of trailers, a ton of spoilers, I feel like, came out before the movie ever came out. And like you said, they've been talking about this forever. There's been so much promotion, maybe outside of Star Wars. I would say this was probably the most heavily marketed movie that I've seen in probably ever. So, yeah, we definitely have been talking about it for a long time. And obviously it caught our attention. We're huge. Again, like we've said a million times, we're huge Batman fans. So obviously this was a huge movie. We couldn't wait to see it. We both really liked Man of Steel. We thought it was a good movie, and we knew that this was kind of like the next progression in that. So yeah, it was definitely something that was on our radar, and we were excited to talk about it, and we were even more excited to see it. So yeah, man. So jumping on in, Batman vs. Superman came out, I guess, a week and a half ago-ish, right?
Yep.
Directed by Zack Snyder. Came out, not the best reviews coming out from everybody. I mean, I'm sure everybody's heard the the backlash of Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, and let's talk about that for a second. I mean, what do you think happened? What happened, Sean, with all these people literally bashing it? There wasn't like a gray area where like, oh, it was mixed reviews. Like the majority of media for reviewing this was extremely negative. Extremely negative. What was that about, Sean? What do you think happened there?
For sure. You know, who knows, man? Like, okay, I'll start off by saying this. Don't buy the hype. Whatever reason people are bashing, whatever it is, make up your own mind. If you haven't seen it yet, you shouldn't be listening to this because it's full of spoilers. And so stop listening. Go see it right now. You know, go throw your money in. Don't just follow the lemmings off the ledge. Because, I mean, if any of the critics' websites that I've seen, you know, they've given it really poor reviews, but all the actual viewers' response has been pretty good. Like Rotten Tomatoes, for instance, gave it a 29, which is awful, which I can't even imagine why they did it. But their viewers, like the actual people who went and saw it and aren't critics, whatever that is, I think it was like almost an 80.
Yeah, I saw that too. It was a huge contrast.
Yeah.
It wasn't a small contrast. It was like literally the other end of the spectrum.
For sure. And that's for what thousands of viewers and actual people who went and saw it voted, opposed to whatever 10 critics that hated it. I feel like for sure Hollywood and definitely the critic game, there's probably like two or three, maybe like a handful, five guys or critics that are at the top that actually decided for whatever reason they hated it, and then the rest just kind of fall in line because they don't want to be the outcast or the outsider that has an actual original thought. Because I've watched a ton of reviews of this and they all say the exact same thing, so they're all listening to each other. They're all spewing the same garbage that they've heard from the last person to try to sound smart, and whatever. And I know sometimes negative criticism attracts more attention, makes a better story than like, oh, I loved it, or whatever, you know? So for some reason, the tide turned against this, and maybe it was that way from the start with all the... It was just an easy target from the Batflick controversy on. I mean, that was such like a big story back then. I felt like from that point on, there was such a hard hurdle to get over that people just wouldn't let go.
Yes.
And they painted a target on it because of that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Sean. I think ever since Ben Affleck was casted into the role of Batman, even I was very upset when that was confirmed. I was not happy about that for a long time. But after Man of Steel and realizing how phenomenal that movie was, I thought, you know, DC realizes they can't mess up. So they see something in Ben Affleck that they know will be a success. So at some point you have to trust DC and trust Warner Brothers and trust, you know, they want to make money. So they don't want to fuck up whatever casting to make a bomb movie. This is a huge investment. But yeah, I think that you're right. But something that I personally think with the bad reviews, I think Disney somehow is involved because they own the cinematic rights for Marvel, you know, except for, you know, Fantastic Four and X-Men. I think that something went on there, Sean. I know that sounds conspiracy theory. I think that sounds maybe crazy to some people, but I think that they greased the hands of some critics and said, hey, if you give this a bad review, who knows what incentives they got from that, but it just doesn't make sense that you would have all these negative reviews. And like you said, they were all saying the same thing and it wasn't accurate at all. A lot of the reviews I read, Sean, were just like people that were negative towards it said, you know, I just don't feel like that's how Batman and Superman are perceived in the comics. And that is total bullshit because there's a Batman versus Superman, like, animated movie that came out. There's comic books. I mean, Doomsday, you know, and the Death of Superman comic was a huge contrast to this film.
Yeah.
I mean, it absolutely blows my mind that people just, for some reason, and that's such a personal opinion. If you're a critic, how could you even say that? I mean, I mean, that's, I guess, what they get paid to do is give their opinion. But I'll say one more thing, and then I'll kick it back to you, Sean. But something that pisses me off is this movie would have made way more money, I believe, if there was a lot more positive reviews and not so much negativity. I believe a lot of people didn't go see it because of the negative reviews. But it is still a successful movie, and it did kill it and crush it at the box office, and we'll talk about those numbers. But do you think that some of the success was, you know, knocked down a peg because of these bad reviews?
Oh, for sure. I think usually you're going to see that more in the second week of any movie. It's going to drop off a little bit. It definitely did for Batman vs. Superman the second week that its numbers aren't nearly as good as the first week's. It's unfortunate, man. I just feel like anybody that says this isn't a good representation of like the comic book version, this by far is the closest to like a comic book coming to life that I've ever seen. Like, I feel like, yeah, I love the Marvel movies. I think they're all great, but they are definitely like cinematic movies. Like, there's like love stories and plots, and they hit all the points. They're very predictable. There's nothing unique about them. They're just like, they made a model that worked really well, and they produce good movies, like great movies. Whereas I felt like they literally took a comic book and made a movie out of it for Batman versus Superman. And that doesn't take anything away from Marvel. I still love all those movies, but it blows my mind. Like, I feel like a lot of these people that say that stuff have never read a comic book.
Like, yeah,
everybody that I know that actually reads comic books and actually has invested in doing it for more than just catching up, trying to catch up before a movie comes out. And there probably are a million reasons why I didn't do so well with them. Maybe for them, like, there is fatigue. One of our listeners on another podcaster friend of ours, he brought up on Twitter, like, you know, is it just a fatigue that's happening with superhero movies? And we talked about this before, you know, I think it was Spielberg said, you know, that it's going to go the way of the Western, people are going to get fatigued of it and stop watching it. And, you know, maybe this was like the first sign of that, as far as like somebody who's not really into comic books finally just being tired of it because it was just too much for them to handle. And like I said, I feel like it was the most like a comic book. So if you're not used to that, maybe that is jarring. Maybe that does make it a little bit over the top for you. I don't know. Whatever these people's opinions are, don't just go by theirs. Don't go just by ours. If you have any interest in seeing it, go see it. Don't be persuaded. There's a million movies that I love that critics hate. Yes. So I never go by critics anyways. You know, they have a certain whatever perception of what Hollywood should be and is, and that doesn't necessarily match up with what I think. And obviously it doesn't match up with what most of America thinks. Micah mentioned the numbers. The movie, they had a budget of $250 million to make it, and the first week that they were open they hit $209 million. So it was the 10th highest first week total at the U.S. box office, and then worldwide it did some crazy numbers too. So
that is actually domestic.
Yeah.
Over worldwide it's over 500 million. I know that for a fact.
Sure.
So we're recording on a Friday, so those numbers are going to go up, of course, but they've already doubled the money that they put into the movie. So I would consider that a success, and it's going to keep growing. But yeah, most people go off domestic box office numbers primarily. But $209 million, I think, is pretty impressive for a first week. Would you agree, Sean?
Yeah, it's huge, and that's domestic. With foreign, for just the first, I guess, like lifetime gross, like Micah said, that's another $300 million. This movie's going to do well over $1 billion by the time it hits VHS. I also read something that said Fandango, which is a huge movie website, reported that Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice is seeing a robust repeat ticket purchase for the superhero thriller, 30% higher than a typical blockbuster, which that just means 30% more than average. People are going back and seeing it a second time. So that should give you a little bit of insight to, like, people that are seeing it are loving it enough to go spend, you know, double the money to go see it again in the theater. I know Micah has said he's going to go see it again. I'm definitely going to go see it again before it leaves theaters. I really enjoyed it. I thought, I guess, to our review of it, I thought it was amazing. I really loved every part of it.
Yeah.
With any movie, there's like ups and downs. There's like little things that you could critique, and I tried to like. I heard all the reviews after I saw it. I try to stay away from that stuff before I see movies, because I like to be surprised. I tried to look at it from their perspective. I didn't feel like it was too long. If anything, I felt like it was too short. Me and Mike were talking earlier about this. I felt like it could have been two full movies of content. Yeah, man, I loved it. What did you think? Your just initial thought?
Yeah, it's so hard to... I'm trying to figure out where to start. I mean, first of all, this was a huge... There was tons of so many different comic books in there. Infinity Crisis, there was a lot of Easter eggs from that. Excuse me. There was also... Yeah, like I said, Death of Superman was huge contrast with that, and I could go on and on, but I really felt like, I don't know, Sean, this movie, the Easter eggs that were in it, I was so pleased with the foundation that they were laying for the Justice League. I can't wait to go see it again. Hopefully I'm going to see it again this weekend. Definitely I'll see it before I head out for my vacation again, but... Sean, I just want to say, for Henry Cavill to do as good of a job as he did with Superman, I think is very hard, and I think people aren't giving him enough credit. I'm a bigger Batman fan than a Superman fan, hands down, but I feel like to make a more successful Superman is much more harder to do than make a successful or mediocre Batman, because Batman is so much more widely loved and accepted, and a lot more fans of, like, diehard fans of Batman as opposed to Superman. I think it's really hard to make a successful Superman. And Henry Cavill is incredible. What a wonderful casting. He has embraced this role of Superman. I really, really just was impressed with his performance. Another really impressive thing that I love that Zack Snyder did was Man of Steel... to Batman vs. Superman. I loved the contrast of it. I fucking loved how you see Zod and Superman fighting with Bruce Wayne in the streets. I love that. I just felt like they were really creating this culture and environment of the DC universe. Because in Marvel, you see all the time with these contrasting things throughout, you know, Daredevil on Netflix. They have like the Avenger little Easter eggs in there. And they have Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They have Easter eggs in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like a cohesive universe with Marvel. And I'm really glad that DC made that a priority to make a cohesive foundation universe of DC that contrasts movie to movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like totally. That was a very important step for them moving forward, going into, you know, the Justice League. Yeah, where do we go? I mean, what topic? Give me another topic. What to go on next? Because I could just talk about the beginning of the movie and what I thought for an hour.
For sure.
But I really think, we should really give Henry Cavill more credit than everyone else is. He's phenomenal Superman. Really good. And Ben Affleck, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, I think he did a great Batman. Do I think he did the best Batman ever? I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him. Maybe in a Batman standalone film, he can win me over, Sean. But I want to say no, it's not the best Batman ever. I think he did very well. But I wouldn't say that he is the end-all, be-all best Batman. I mean, what do you think?
So I'll address your points in two parts. First, I'll address the Superman, Henry Cavill. Okay, so not a huge fan of Superman anyways. Just never been a fan of the character that much. I think Henry Cavill does a good job at portraying him. I think they picked a really... Couldn't probably have casted a better guy to play him. I appreciate in this rendition or this version of him that he's much more conflicted Superman. He's not, a lot of times in the animated series or, even the comic books, he's just like this very perfect being who always knows what the right thing to do is. And I think they portrayed him as like, kind of like, kind of like a just a simple guy who happened to have all these powers. Like, he grew up as a normal Kansas kid. He's very conflicted. He's just trying to figure this out. And if you looked at the movie, the scope of it, you know, from when he fought Zod to now, it's not that far of a difference. He's just trying to do the best he can. He's like, he plays it in a way that, like, if one of us just happened to be, oh my God, I'm Superman now, like, you're going to have conflict and there's going to be a bleakness to it. There's going to be a lot of, I can't save everybody. Who do I save? People hate me. People like me. I appreciate all that part of it. I think that's great. I don't think you could have picked a better way to portray Superman. And to a lot of critics, I guess, have said, and the person that I heard say it that really resonated with me was Kevin Smith said that he felt like this was more Superman, Man of Steel, the sequel to Man of Steel, or whatever, which I agree with. I feel like it was definitely more about him and his conflict. And I feel like because Batman was more popular in people's eyes and they were trying to get this going, I think they gave it a little more push towards him. And I don't know if that's necessarily the way that they shot it. And then as far as Batman goes, I think Ben Affleck honestly is my favorite Batman to this point. I think an older, hardened Batman is my favorite Batman. Just like he just is like this grizzled, you know, like 40 something, like, I'm gonna punch you in the face and I hate everybody and I'm sick of, like, just like, I don't know, like a Batman that you realize, like, has been struggling for how many ever years to clean up Gotham, has dealt with just garbage his whole life. It's like an old cop who's just like over it, you know.
Absolutely. And Christian Bale, just, I don't mean to interrupt you, but Christian Bale did play an older beat up Bruce Wayne with The Dark Knight Rises with Bane.
For sure.
I mean, it wasn't as, I mean, there wasn't any Robin at that point, you know. But yeah, he did play kind of a gritty older Batman whose knees were blown to hell and all that. He's getting older, retiring. So
yeah. No, I agree. Like, I don't know. I really appreciated Ben Affleck's Batman. I felt like the whole movie, like we've said already, was just such a perfect interpretation of a comic book coming to life. And I feel like their Batman was like a great representation of everything from the Arkham Knight game series to like comic books that I've read. It was just good, man. All around, it was just like the way he moved, the CGI with it was perfect. His character, just like the darkness of it, I think was perfect. I think it was a good contrast to like Superman. I think by itself, you know, the other movies were great. Dark Knight Rises and all that stuff was phenomenal, but I don't think it would have worked contrasting to Batman. Like, I think you had to, or contrasting to Superman, sorry. I think you had to have a bigger Batman to even come close to standing up to Superman, right?
Yeah, I think, I would agree with that. It's a definitely different dynamic, I would say. The whole storyline between Christopher Nolan's trilogy as opposed to Zack Snyder's rendition of what he was trying to go for. Christopher Nolan's was just Batman. It was almost like Batman universe and no other superhero existed. I personally think it's hard. I'm still undecided if Ben Affleck is the best Batman or not, because I feel like I still need to see more of him, Sean. This movie isn't enough for me to say he's the best Batman ever.
True.
I would agree with you. He did a really good brooding old Batman. He did a really good job at that. And even just the scenes of the nightmare scenes with him, I really enjoyed. The scenes where that you first see him in the cowl, where the cop's shooting at him in the ceiling, and he's kind of scattering all around like a spider or a bat. You know what I mean? I felt like that was the first time you saw him in the suit, and I just got goosebumps because I was like, oh, we haven't seen Batman like that before. It was definitely more of a, would you agree with me, more of a mythical Batman,
totally.
More like of a, almost like he has powers, almost like a magical Batman, as opposed to Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale. He was a very smart martial artist gadget Batman, very logical. There wasn't any magic or powers to that Batman. Not saying it was bad. My opinion that I've said in past episodes, Sean, is Christopher Bale is still my favorite Batman. Until I see more from Ben Affleck, I still stand by that. I think that trilogy was top-notch from beginning to end. All three movies are flawless. But I don't know. I'm really happy with what Ben Affleck did. I think he owned the role. I think he really did a great job. I mean, also seeing Jason Todd's Robin outfit, you know, Joker killed Jason Todd with a crowbar, and to see his suit with a ha-ha, who's laughing now? I forget. It was ha-ha-ha. I think I get the last laugh, something like that.
Yeah, it's like who's laughing now or something.
Who's laughing now, something like that. I felt like that was a huge touch, and you can still see Ben Affleck realized Batman carrying that guilt so much from the death of Jason Todd. I think that that's a real comic book contrast, because Batman was suffering so much and beat himself up so much about the death of Jason Todd in the comic books. That affected him so much. I mean, he went on a rampage after Jason Todd died. And same with Damian, after Damian, his son, died as Robin. He felt so much guilt by letting these apprentices down when he should have been there for them at their time they needed him the most. So you could see that in the movie. And for somebody who hasn't read those comic books, you kind of don't get it. You just kind of like, oh, what was that about? But if you're a comic book reader, you know exactly what's going on, and you get so much more from it.
Yeah.
And I think Ben Affleck, I applaud him for just the little subtle nuances like that, Sean. I was like, yeah, he did a really good job. That's really great. But as far as the best Batman ever, it's still the jury's out, because we have a lot more movies with him. He could make another phenomenal, and I'll change my mind, another standalone Batman film that's outstanding. And hopefully he does, and he does become my new favorite of all time. But
yeah,
right now I think Christian Bale still... we shouldn't forget what he's done. He did a phenomenal job as Batman, I think. So
no, yeah, I agree, man. I think it was definitely, they were good in their own ways. I think for me, like, what clinched it is one of my favorite stories of all time was Batman, The Dark Knight Returns, and that Frank Miller book. And it was just, or that series, he's definitely more of a Frank Miller Batman in this.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And I think it follows that story pretty well, even like almost a retired Batman. Just like, he's huge in this, man. He's just like this huge. And that was the thing too. It wasn't like he was, when he was getting ready to fight Superman, and he was just, when he hated tires, Ben Affleck definitely worked out for this movie. He got in shape for it. He had this like sense that he could actually like do all these things. You know what I mean? Like, he played it really well. I don't know, man. I felt like the movie was great from beginning to end. We talked about some stuff earlier, before we recorded, about how we thought, I had mentioned, I thought it was unnecessary for, like the Batman's origin story to be in there, really. Cause everybody knows it. Everybody knows about Crime Alley and his parents. I get like this again, here's a huge spoiler part. Martha, which really hasn't been portrayed a lot in almost any other story, Batman's mother being named Martha, and Superman's mom also being Martha, or his earthly mother's name is Martha. So they have this instant connection, which obviously is like the whole point of the movie that stops the fight, is these two having the same mom's name, at least. So I get that. I get the setup for that. I get how it's important for the rest of the story, but I felt like it kind of went along. I thought it was beautifully shot. Like, we saw it in 3D, and that scene particularly was like great in 3D for some reason. Like, when they come out of, which they came out of Excalibur, which in the other stories I think he came out of Zorro is usually what it is. But that was still cool. It came out of a movie. He made a big point. His dad says Martha, Martha before she dies, again to reiterate the importance of her name. Other than that, I felt like they kind of spent a little too much time on it. There was so much in this movie, especially with the setup of the rest of the Justice League, which we need to get to that, because that was phenomenal, just to see all the different stuff that happened with that. Outside of the two big characters, though, Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman was amazing.
Yeah, and just to respond a little bit more to what you said on Batman, sorry. It's just so
much.
And there's so much. Like I said, we could talk about this forever and ever. But I think that's a great point, Sean, that when his mom dies, they do that scene a couple of times. But just like when you see her eyes go wide and she dies, I felt like that was a very graphic thing to see that we haven't seen before in the death of Batman's parents. It was a very personal, graphic scene where you just see his parents freaking get slaughtered. But also, I think it was important for them to keep reiterating Martha, Martha, because if they didn't, this scene where right before Batman's about to kill Superman wouldn't have, I think, had the meaning and value, and we wouldn't have understood it as clearly as we do now to go back and say, oh, well, there's so much emphasis on his mother. I told you after I saw the movie, I wasn't disappointed, but I thought it could have been portrayed better. This was my only problem with the film. Right before he kills Superman, he's using the kryptonite gas to weaken him, and then he has a kryptonite spear that he's made to ready to just go through his heart. And by the way, Batman could totally kill Superman. That's done. The debate is over. I think they could have done another reason why he didn't kill Superman, as opposed to just this random Lois Lane running up and Martha and him saying Martha. I don't know. I personally feel like there could have been a better portrayal of what stopped Batman from killing Superman. Maybe an exchange, Sean, between him back and forth, Superman and Batman a little bit more, trying to work it out right towards the end. Maybe that's the way I would have liked to seen it. But that was literally the only problem I had with the film, and I explained that to you, and I think you disagree with me, and that's okay. I think this hero is so personal for so many people who read the comic books day in and day out that you want to see. Everyone has a slightly different perception of how they like Batman and what version and how they see him as a hero. But overall, like I said, I think I was very pleased with the plot line of it. But yeah, like you said, moving right along to the beginning of the Justice League, we could talk about Gal Gadot, her performance. I think she did an incredible job. She definitely played what you would think Wonder Woman is, this strong female, just badass who is not afraid of anybody. She just has no fear. I think she did a really good job. The fight scene with Doomsday at the end with her pulling out her lasso, that was really cool that we got to see her lasso in the movie. Her fight scene, yeah, she just played this character that a lot of people don't realize. Wonder Woman is a huge part of the Justice League, and she is just as powerful, if not the most powerful being in the Justice League. I mean, she could really kick Superman's ass. I mean, she is a freaking huge part. She has a lot of power. She's very powerful in the realm of the Justice League. So people need to not forget that. She's pretty much the equivalent of a Superman, just a woman. And I think she did a great job, Sean. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I thought her character portrayal of it was phenomenal. She looked like Wonder Woman. Like the old theme song that kicked in when she jumped in to the battle, I thought was cool. You know, she had the handcuffs were cuffling things. She was like blocking his like vision from Death Ray or whatever, or from all of that. It was just phenomenal, man. From her sword and everything, it was just great. I think she did a great job. I think it was really smart of them to kind of have the next movie is based on her origin and all that stuff. And they talked obviously a lot more about her than the other characters that are coming up in the Justice League. Definitely made her a central key character in the whole plot. We even see, for an Easter egg, we see Pine in the photo with her. So
just about to say,
obviously
that
they're going to do like a throwback to when she's in World War II or whatever. Chris Pine is her
love interest. Yeah,
plays what's his name?
I don't remember.
It's gonna kill me now.
I don't remember, but yeah, he plays his love interest, which Steve Chris Trevor. Pine. Yeah, and he should have been casted as Green Lantern. He would have fucking made the best Green Lantern. But that was a huge Easter egg, that old photograph that they were chasing after that Lex Luthor had, was a very huge Easter egg. Not to mention Sean the Flash.
Yeah.
I mean, is there anything else you want to say about Wonder Woman before we...
No, I just think they cast it perfectly. She's phenomenal. I loved every part of it. I can't wait to see her movie, which is actually impressive because before this movie came out, I was like, I don't really care to see a Wonder Woman movie. Now I'm actually excited to see it. So if anything, you're going to love that part of it. So
I agree. I think it is smart that's the next one coming out. I love Chris Pine, so I'm excited. I'm still glad that he's part of the DC universe, but I just wish he was a bigger part of the DC universe than just kind of like a side character in a Wonder Woman film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I think Gal Gadot is going to crush it in this new Wonder Woman film. But yeah, great casting. Flash. Let's go to the Flash. The Flash, there's tons of Easter eggs. Him coming through the Speed Force to Bruce Wayne in a dream. I have almost lost my shit in the theater when that happened.
Yeah.
I don't remember the quote exactly because I've only seen it once, but he said, Lois Lane's the key. Lois Lane, you got to protect Lois Lane. Am I here too early? I remember him saying that specifically.
Yeah.
He said, am I here too early? You could tell he was definitely traveling through time trying to find Bruce Wayne, and that is an Easter egg for, I think, Infinity Crisis happening, where Lois Lane dies and Superman loses his shit and just becomes this fucking evil being. I think those dream sequences, that's what a lot of hardcore DC fans are talking about, their theories of what these were about. Zack Snyder, you know, definitely has talked about his explanation of these dream sequences. I know that they're packing about an extra 30 minutes of footage into the Blu-ray DVD director's cut of sequences, an additional footage of Batman's Nightmare. So for a DC fan, you have to be very excited that Zack Snyder released that information, that there's going to be a lot more Easter eggs with the DVD with Batman's extended dream sequences, because they're not really dreams, they're a reality. They're a vision into a reality. That's what I feel like I know I can say without a fact, that's happening in another universe somewhere else. But I felt like the Easter egg with the Flash and the dream sequence, and then the dream sequence with, you know, Superman being evil, and you see the Omega sign with Dark, you know, that's from Darkseid, of course.
Yeah.
That was extremely a great Easter egg there. There were signs of Darkseid everywhere with Lex Luthor. I'm jumping all over the place, but there was a lot of Easter eggs. They were so clearly... This is why Zack Snyder, I mean, is perfect, and why I commend what he did. And it pisses me off that it got a bad review, Sean. To put those Easter eggs in a way that a DC fan could realize, and it was clear and it was crisp. And if you read the comic books, you knew exactly what that Easter egg was about. It wasn't muddled with what his interpretation was. It was just very clear the way that script was written, what was going on. I feel like, what do you think?
No, I agree, man. 100%. I feel like that part was super exciting to me. I loved that they had all of the like Easter eggs that you were talking about. The little touch points for all the Justice League that's coming out in the future. The Flash part was awesome to see him do his Speed Force kind of thing, come back from the future, do his thing, to see the videos of Aquaman and Cyborg, all their like kind of origin stories to be kind of just dipped in the toe, which is cool because usually we see that stuff at the end of a movie and kind of have that incorporated in the middle of a movie, I think was an interesting twist on that. But yeah, man, I cannot wait to see it. I think all those other movies look great, even just from the little teasers that they gave. Aquaman looked interesting, which I never thought a day would come that an Aquaman movie would look interesting to me. But yeah, I love The Flash. I think it's going to be great. I totally agree, man. I think you're totally right as far as, like, the dream sequences are probably going to be... I don't know why Batman could see the future at this point, but I think there are going to be flashes into what's going to be happening. Definitely probably on a different universe, or something's going to happen to where... it maybe does happen here, and Darkseid gets control of Superman for a little bit, but they get him back, I'm sure. But yeah, whatever it is, I can't wait. I think it's going to be phenomenal. The other people that were in this movie that I thought did a phenomenal job, just to get back into to Batman versus Superman, I thought Jeremy Irons did probably one of the best interpretations of Alfred. Even though he had, I don't know, a handful, 20 lines, he killed it. I thought he was a great Alfred, for sure. I thought Senator Finch by Holly Hunter, I thought she did a great job. Jesse Eisenberg, yeah. You know, there was a lot of controversy over him, but I think playing like a young like executive who kind of came into this business or whatever and kind of lost his mind or whatever, I think he does that well, man, like better than anybody else. Like almost like a one of these kids that like, this is kind of controversial, obviously, but it's like one of these kids who lose it and shoot up their school, but you give that kid $1 billion and this is what would happen. Like, it's not, I'm not just going to go shoot up a school. I'm going to, like, destroy the earth. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
And he plays that character really well. So that's a really unique interpretation of Lex Luthor that I've never seen before. And I think that it played really well. It played really smart in this movie. So
I agree, Sean. I think the back and forth between Lex Luthor and the Senator was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Yeah.
The whole Granny's peach tea, like, you know, if it's piss and you call it Granny's peach tea, I'm not going to drink it, something like that. And, I felt like he was straight up evil. Like, he got the guy who had, there was this guy who had lost his legs in the fight. But when Zod, you know, fought Superman, he lost his legs, and he was this, Lex Luthor became in the movie, he kind of put him as the poster child of like what Superman's done, and kind of victimized this person and villainized Superman in the same way. And it was very smart. And he gave him this wheelchair, and he told him an option. He said, "Do you want to be a symbol for something bigger than you?" And the guy already had nothing to live for. So he was smart enough to realize that and take advantage of this person. And yeah, that the scene that you see where they're all, when Superman shows up to the Senate and he's like accounting for what happened, he doesn't even get a chance to explain himself. The bomb is in the wheelchair and everything, everyone dies and it just explodes. Like that scene to me where Superman just looked, you know what I mean? And in the flames after everyone was dead and he was just in the flames, like, I can't win. That hopeless moment of Superman was so important in the film. Again, credit to Henry Cavill for portraying that in such an honest, real way. You could really see Superman just broken down by Lex Luthor, his nemesis. Yeah. And the first time, in the first way, I found such great pleasure from that scene, just because we have never seen Superman that low before, ever, in cinematic history. I mean, even when he killed Zod, that was a pretty big moment, obviously, but this was totally like he just had nothing left in the tank. That was a big scene. I think Jesse Eisenberg did a phenomenal Lex Luthor. I think he did a really great job, man. I think definitely the best Lex Luthor ever. I know Kevin Spacey did Lex Luthor, but that Superman was a joke. I think he takes the cake, and hopefully we will see Jesse Eisenberg in the Justice League. Hopefully they'll continue the story of Lex. He'll get out of jail and kind of become the villain again, multi-million dollar playboy villain again. But yeah, I think, could I just touch up on one thing before we go? So Zack Snyder definitely confirmed that Darkseid is going to be the villain in the Justice League pretty much. Just a quick quote he said while we're on Lex Luthor, because he pretty much, at the end when he's at the jail scene, Sean, did you get this too? I interpreted it as he was saying, he was like rambling off shit of that dark side. He saw a prophecy while he was making Doomsday. Is that what you kind of got? He was, Doomsday had,
Yeah.
What do you
think? Yeah, no, for sure. He, so there actually was like a released scene that wasn't in the movie that they didn't finish for whatever reason. And it shows him, I don't know if like the onboard computer of that ship, whatever, told him. I don't know how he got to this point, but there's a scene where it's Jesse Eisenberg's in front of Steppenwolf, which is like this demon underlord of Darkseid. And he's like talking to him, and it's like a really poorly generated clip of it. And I'll put that in the show notes. But yeah, it's definitely Darkseid. He's talking to Steppenwolf. I'm not a huge fan of him, but there's a whole lot to it. And then at the end, he says stuff like the bell's been rung and he's on his way or something like that.
Yeah.
Something to that effect. But yeah, no, it's definitely pretty clear it's Darkseid, especially like you said, the Omega stuff that was in the dream sequences and all that, which is, there's not much of a better supervillain than Darkseid. But yeah, man, back to, I guess, some of the stuff that you had touched on. You had said that scene where he blows up the Capitol or whatever. I felt like on the other side too, it was like that was Batman's turning point too. That was like, that's when it like broke. It was the straw that broke the camel's back for him. It's like he lost his mind over it when he's in there and he gets that last return to check from whatever that guy's name. The guy's real name is Scoot McNary or whatever. It's like Wallace something. He gets a check from him and it's like this is your fault. You did nothing, basically, and it's just like that. It snaps his brain, and this is, you got to think, this is a Batman that's already lost a Robin, and he's lost his parents, and it's just, his life is all about losing people, and this is a guy he thought he saved from it, and it was somebody that was in his life, and an employee that he tries to take care of, and so yeah, man, it was just like that was a big turning point for him, and then speaking of Jesse Eisenberg. Just being a crazy Lex Luthor. I thought the part where he pushes Lois off of the building, because he's like, I know how to get Superman here quick. He just throws her off the building.
Yeah.
Like, and then she dies. And like the whole stuff with his mom and like that stuff was pretty dark. Like when she was like there and he was going to burn her to death. And like the crazy photos of her like duct taped up. And he's like, I'm going to kill her. I told him not to tell me where she was because you're going to go do this, or like just to be able to, like this man, like this crazy person controlling basically two gods and making them fight, you know, like trying to destroy each other. Like the whole setup and scenario of it was crazy. So yeah, I thought he did a good job, man. I know he caught a lot of flack, but there was some cheesy parts like them shaving his head at the end. That was like kind of like almost one step too far, but
really, I didn't think that was cheesy at all. I mean, Lex Luthor is bald.
That's true. I guess it had to happen some way.
That's how he looks. Yeah. I mean, why would people?
I just didn't know why would they don't shave your head in prison. That's not like something that happens.
Yeah, they do. If you have long hair, I don't think they allow long hair in prison.
They just shave your head. I don't think that's like a thing.
They don't have to shave your head, but I know you can't have long hair in prison.
That's true. I will say though that scene when he's like gets put in the cell and the lights go out behind him and then Batman's standing in his cell, that was pretty badass. And he's like,
"Yeah, that was
wherever you go, I'll be there."
Yeah, like, it's already too late. Ben Affleck definitely played a Batman that we've never seen because he was just straight out rage. It wasn't anger; it was rage. Like he was out of control. And people were arguing, too, that this is the first Batman that's killed, Sean. I don't know if you read some of these things.
Sure.
They said, technically, when he's going through these scenes and driving cars and making these cars crash and all these other people, he's killing these people. I don't think he's killing them, but some people are portraying him as the first Bat. I don't know where they... I've heard some examples, but I don't... see the clear cut example of that, but
they cite that Dream too because he has guns and he shoots guns in it, which is like usually a huge no-no for Batman. But again, that's a dream, and that's potentially a different universe Batman or something, you know.
It is. I think so. My prediction of what the Justice League is going to be is Lois Lane's going to die. Darkseid is going to, I don't know, do something to where Superman loses his mind. And Batman has to go to different universes to get other Supermans to help him get this Clark Kent back to, you know, original, you know, stop him essentially from destroying the universe. I think that's what the plot is going to be for the Justice League, because Lois Lane is definitely has something very important to do for the Flash to come through the Speed Force and say, you know, don't let her die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we're seeing that already, she has a huge, huge part in what's to come. But so Zack Snyder, I just wanted to read this quote really quick. I know we're bouncing around, but Empire Magazine asked Zack Snyder if he could provide any information about the much anticipated villain, Darkseid. He kind of gave like a tongue in cheek, kind of sarcastic, funny response. He's like, I don't know. I don't know. What is his symbol again? Is it something like a Z, but Greek or something? I don't know. Does it appear in the movie? Oh, I don't think so. Oh, wait, maybe a little bit. Yeah, he's like going back and forth talking about it. And Omega is the symbol for the Greek Z. And you see that very clearly in the dream sequence. I'm excited that this was the villain pick for the Justice League. I'm glad that we aren't guessing what the next villain is going to be. I know a lot of Marvel fanboys don't normally know who the next villain is going to be for the next Marvel movie. I mean, obviously, we know with Civil War what's going to go on.
They started fighting each other. There's no villain.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but that's what I mean. But I feel like in Marvel movies, there hasn't been a clear cut what villain is next. They've had hints of Thanos and all that with Infinity Gauntlet, but nothing for sure in stone. But anyway, I appreciate that. I think Zack Snyder is a phenomenal director. There's already petitions online for him to be directing all of the rest of the Justice League movies to come out. And anything involved with the DCU, since he's taken such good care and had such respect, I think, for the brand and the DC universe, and that clearly shows in Batman vs Superman.
Totally agree, man. So I guess like quick questions that we kind of wrap up stuff with. So we both really enjoyed it. We both are looking forward to the Wonder Woman film. Out of the ones that were kind of portrayed as far as the Justice League stuff, what's like the next movie you're the most excited to see?
Well, I'm not sure what movie I'm excited next to see. I would say the question for me is I'm excited to see how the story progresses as far as, you know, at the end of Batman vs. Superman, Superman dies, Darkseid, Doomsday, you know, kills him. And they bury him, but at the end, you know, you see the dirt move, right, where Lois Lane threw the dirt on top of his grave, and it kind of moves a little bit. So you know he's coming back from that scene. But I'm curious to see, is Superman going to come back right when they need him the most? Or is Superman, are they going to explain that? How are they going to explain Superman coming back? I know me and you talked about this before the show, Sean. I think that's a big question on your mind and my mind. Is it going to be something right away that they kind of don't explain? They just kind of like hint at it, because you already know he's coming back after that dirt move.
Sure.
I think hopefully I hope that he comes back right away. They don't just the Justice League, you know, kind of make him come back right at the end where they need him the most. That might be a little too predictable.
Yeah.
But as far as my favorite movie, if I had to answer that question, Sean, I just think I'm excited for the Justice League the most. I mean, the Batman standalone film that Ben Affleck is writing, or the script is actually done, that him and Geoff Johns have written, I'm excited for. But I'm excited to see Jared Leto, by the way, the Suicide Squad this year. That's going to be phenomenal. I'm very excited to see that movie, but probably the Justice League. How about yourself?
Yeah, I would agree. I feel like that's probably when we're going to see Superman come back. If I'm not incorrect, I think We have at least Wonder Woman for sure before, and I think Aquaman and Flash kind of share a movie or something like that. I don't know. I know that there's, like, I think we're going to see a couple origin stories and, like, side stories to build these characters up a little bit. And then I know that there's an official Justice League movie coming out. But, yeah, that one would probably be my favorite, the one I'm looking forward to the most, as far as out of all of them. Because I think, like you said, we're going to see Superman come back. Hopefully it's not, like, a just dramatic ending to it. But, yeah, man, definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think even seeing hints of, you know, they showed Cyborg and Aquaman and Barry Allen, the Flash, in Batman vs. Superman. Those were Easter eggs, I know, Sean, that I enjoyed, you enjoyed. You know, the convenience store with Barry Allen, he's just looking at milk. And then the lights just flicker and the guy's, like, out. And he's just, like, still looking at milk. Like, I think the Flash is going to be another great movie. I know that character resonates with me and Sean. Just love Barry Allen. But yeah, there's so much to look forward to. And like I said, the most important thing, Sean, was they created movies that talk to each other. And I think that that's going to be important with Wonder Woman. There has to be dark side Easter eggs in Wonder Woman. There has to be Easter eggs contrasting maybe with Aquaman in Wonder Woman. There has to be this contrast between all these movies to create this feeling of a DC universe. That's how you're going to get fans to come back and watch this, because the more you watch it, the more you get from it. And all these characters you want to know more about. It creates questions and it creates an intrigue about this whole story. You get a feeling that it's not just an hour film about Batman and then it's over. Oh, he defeated the bad guy, whatever. There's so much more going on. And that's what I think is going to be the key to success for this whole franchise. But I'm very excited. It's a great start. I think Zack Snyder did a great job. Sean, I have one question for you before we end. Before I give my review, out of 10, what are you going to give Batman vs. Superman?
I'm going to say, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. Because, like, I feel like there's always room for improvement. But definitely my favorite superhero movie to date, so... We have a solid 9 out of 10. I think it's phenomenal. If you haven't seen it, you shouldn't have listened to this episode. But if you've seen it, go see it again. I'm going to go see it again. Let's support it. We want to keep seeing all these great DC movies come out. The only way that they're going to keep making them is if we put our money behind it. So, yeah, that's my review.
Yeah. For me, for my review, what I think it is... I'm on point with Sean. I want to give it a 10 so bad... But I don't feel like it was a 10 movie. I feel like it was just under a 10. Maybe a 9. I mean, I'll give it a 9 as well. I want to say 9.5, but that's kind of copping out. I'll give it a solid 9. I think, for me, honestly, Sean, if that scene with Batman when he was about to kill Superman with the kryptonite spear, if it went a little differently... The reason why he didn't kill Superman, I think I would have given it a 10 out of 10. It didn't ruin the movie for me by any means, but it just didn't resonate with me. That scene just felt a little off for me. But overall, what a great movie. I can't wait to see it again to pick up on other things that I didn't figure out. You know, I guarantee there's Easter eggs that I missed, even in those scenes, the dream sequences. So... What a great movie. I'm so glad we can say this movie's good instead of fucking suck. DC screwed up again. They're never going to make a right Justice League. You know, like, I'm so glad they did it right.
Agreed, 100%. And if you guys agreed with us, we would love to hear your opinion. Tell us what you guys think about the movie. Shoot us a comment on Twitter. We would love to have a conversation with you. If you hated it, we'd love to hear why you hated it. If you loved it, why did you love it? Let us know what you guys think. You can reach us on Twitter at 5280nerd. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter. You can reach Micah at
Vash0077.
And like always, we always love the support you guys give us on iTunes, and rating and reviewing the show definitely helps us out a ton. and for other people to find the show. You can also check out our website at 5280nerd.com. We just want to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We're going to go back to our normal kind of diving into more general topics than just focusing on Batman. But it was such an important movie to us, and it's something we waited our whole lives to see. Never in my life did I think I was going to see a live-action movie where Batman fought Superman. Finally got the opportunity, and we had to talk about it. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys liked what we had to say. If you didn't, again, let us know. But thank you guys so much for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
Thanks so much, guys. See you next time.
This movie's going to do well over $1 billion by the time it hits VHS.
I would say the whole storyline between Christopher Nolan's